Welcome to the Jesus, Sex, and Politics podcast. I'm Micah, and Nathan isn't in the studio with me right now, but never fear, because I know I get a lot of crap from Nathan and from other people, maybe you, the listener. You're saying, why isn't Nathan on with you that often? Well, today we have a special Jesus, Sex, and Politics podcast episode, and it's going to basically be all Nathan. So don't let your heart be troubled. Nathan's coming to you. And how we're going to do this here, Nathan was just on with our friends over at WIBC in Indianapolis. It's the largest talk radio station in Indiana. And we love the WIBC audience, and the hosts over there are awesome. They talk a lot about politics, but we dive into faith a lot as well. And so our friends on the Kendall and Casey show, that's Rob Kendall and Casey Daniels, they brought Nathan in to talk about Jesus's triumphal entry into hell. A lot of times we don't talk about that very often. We talk about the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, but where did Jesus go when he died? He didn't just fall asleep and lay in the tomb. He did something. And so Rob and Casey had Nathan on the show, and I want to play that for you now. So it's really going to be all about Nathan in this podcast. You're welcome. I don't want to hear it from Nathan when he comes back into the studio that I never give him airtime, because this is his episode right here. Check it out. You're going to love it. He does a great job explaining the depths of this awesome story. Here we go.
93 WIBC, it is the Kendall and Casey Show. I'm Rob. Casey's here, and you know, Casey, it is that time.
What time is that?
Well, we have to find something positive going on in the world and talk about it.
Yes.
And
shouldn't be hard this week.
Well, look, here's the thing. So today is my last day. I'm done for the... Not period. Some people just did a celebration. Oh my gosh, it's his last day. He's done forever.
Finish the sentence.
It's my last day for the week.
There we go.
And obviously Easter is Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I said, there's no way I can skedoodle on out the door without doing something on Easter.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, it is the most significant event in human history.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah, I was thinking about that this morning. Even if you're a non-believer, your entire world, religion, etc., is shaped around this event. So we have to talk about it, because mm-hmm. it is actually real and it did actually happen. But I thought, how do we give kind of a different take on this? How do we do something different than what maybe our audience has heard before as it relates to Jesus's resurrection?
You're talking about other than just the story that
right.
we know.
Exactly, because everybody's heard the story. Obviously, it's wonderful. It's amazing. But we are in the entertainment business here, mm-hmm. Casey. Let's mm-hmm. face it. And I saw something recently, and I said, oh my gosh, this is wonderful. This would be the perfect way to address this issue. And it comes from our friends at Life Church.
Yeah.
And actually joining us now, Nathan Peternell. He's the lead pastor at Life Church.
How's
Nathan, hello.
Hey.
And so full disclosure, you guys obviously advertise on the show, but you guys, the topic of the sermon this past weekend, because obviously it was Palm Sunday, we're now in Easter week, Easter season, and I kind of felt so silly and so ignorant, but I was like, I've never really thought about this before, is what happened between when Jesus was crucified mm-hmm. and when he rose from the dead.
Yeah.
Like, Casey, I've never, like, how did I not, like, just ponder what was happening before? I've never thought about that before, I don't think.
Right. There were a few days there.
Yes. So, Nathan, you guys, I'm just curious, like, why did you guys make that the focus of the sermons this week at Life Church?
Well, I think a lot of Christians, they haven't thought about it.
Right. And guilty. 100%.
And you talk about the triumphant entry, which is Palm Sunday, and everybody goes, the donkey story, mm-hmm. you know? Well, there was another triumphant entry, and there's going to be still yet another triumphant entry, according to the scripture, one that happens in the book of Revelation. But there's one that happens that doesn't get a lot of press, and it's what happened to Jesus when he died on the cross. Where did he go? And if you're a Christian, and you've ever heard of the Apostles' Creed, which Catholics and Protestants alike use, there's this little verse.
Casey, we can get along on this. Mm-hmm. You and I can unite.
Yeah.
This little phrase that said that he descended into hell. And people go, holy cow, Jesus went to hell? I mean, didn't he suffer enough on the cross? Why does he have to go to hell? But then there's the question of what does that mean? And so there's a story in Luke chapter 16, which is the rich man and Lazarus. There's two Lazarus in the Bible. There's the beggar Lazarus, and then there's Jesus' friend Lazarus.
Right.
But in the story of Luke 16, it tells us that the rich man goes to hell, or the place of the departed dead, but also that Lazarus, the beggar, goes to the place of the departed dead, and they're both in the same place, but on two different sides of a great chasm. And on one side's the place of torment, which is heat and flame, and the other side is the place of comfort, which is called Abraham's bosom.
So pre-Jesus dying on the cross and coming back from the dead, this is where people who lived a good, godly life would go.
Regardless, it's called the underworld. So regardless of whether you go to the side of comfort or the side of torment, everybody went to this place, and it's a holding place. And so, according to the scriptures, everybody who believed in the sacrificial system of the Old Testament, when you sinned and then you killed a lamb or you killed an animal, and that the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Even though you didn't know Jesus, but you believed in God's word and were doing this, you were believing in what was to come. Those were types, shadows, and pictures of Jesus, which would be the ultimate Lamb of God come to take away the sins of the world. So
his blood was shed, so we didn't have to kill lambs anymore.
Well, absolutely. And the Bible says that he was slain from the foundations of the earth, right? This was always the mind of God. It wasn't plan B. This was always going to happen. God knew if he made man, man would mess up. And he still made man. And he still had a plan.
Let me introduce you again real quick. Nathan Peternell is our guest. He's the lead pastor at Life Church. We're talking about, because it is obviously Easter season, this just incredible thing. Should I be embarrassed that I never thought about this before?
I think a lot of Christians don't.
Have you ever thought about this, Casey?
No, I haven't. And you know what? I've actually pulled up the Apostles' Creed that you mentioned. And the line is, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again.
Yeah, yep. So we're talking about what happened to Jesus in these days,
three days
between the crucifixion and the resurrection. Go ahead, sorry.
So essentially, everybody goes to this place. One side, in the story of rich man and Lazarus, the rich man wants to get out, or to have Lazarus come over and just dip his finger in water, put it on his tongue because he's in so much torment. And Abraham tells him, I'm sorry, that can't happen. Nobody can go from this side to your side. Nobody from your side can escape to come to our side. And he says, oh, well, then please send Lazarus back from the dead, send him to my brothers because I don't want them to come here. And you've heard misery loves company, not in hell.
Better known as this radio show.
Well, not in hell. Even those in hell, they don't want anybody to go there. And he says, well, if you would send Lazarus back from the dead, then there's no way my brothers would come here. And Abraham says to the rich man, he says, no, they have the law, they have the prophets, and even if one would be sent back from the dead, they won't believe. Well, God essentially did even what the rich man was asking for, because he gave us the law, he gave us the prophets, and all to tell us who was to come, but he did send one back from the dead, and that was Jesus. So Jesus dies on the cross. He says, it is finished. He dies. Where does he go? He goes to the place of the departed dead. Now, his body's going to go to a tomb for 3 days, mm-hmm. and all of the people that are alive on earth that were his followers are going to mourn. They're going to be dejected. They never saw this coming, even though he told them it was coming. But where does Jesus go?
They believed, the belief was, and this is why people mocked him, they believed he's, because he rides in on Palm Sunday, the king of the Jews, he's going to free us. Their interpretation was, he's going to free us from the Romans.
Yes.
It's totally amazing to me.
Well, I mean, that's what they were looking for. They were looking for a political leader, but God came to be a whole lot more than a political leader. He came to be the one to set us free from sin and death. So Jesus now descends into Hades, which is the term that we would use. He goes down and he goes down to gather up what belongs to him, all of the righteous Old Testament saints who believed in the sacrifice. And he says, look, when you believed in the sacrifice, you believed in me. When you did those things in faith, and what is Abraham? He's the father of faith. It says that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him as righteousness. So all those who were in the side of comfort, they believed in God and it was counted unto them as righteous. Now Jesus goes down and he says, I am taking all of you with me. And so he proclaims himself. He says, see, I'm here. Now there's another portion of spirits that we have to talk about. The ones that are already in chains and bondage on the other side of the chasm. And those are the demonic powers that the Bible says have already been imprisoned because they did not honor the boundaries that God had said. And God put them there. That's why, like when Jesus meets the Gerasene demoniac, the demons are freaking out because they say, have you come to torture us and throw us into the abyss before the appointed hour? They are freaked out by Jesus. Well, he's also declaring to them, hey, you guys thought that you were going to kill me, and you thought that this was going to win you the day, and that God could somehow be overthrown. I'm just here to declare to you that you lose.
This sermon was fascinating, and full disclosure, I watched it yesterday, and that's why I love you guys have the Life Church IN. You guys have the sermons all posted, so you can go back and watch them when you want. I was watching this yesterday, and I was like, oh my gosh, I feel so silly that this has never even dawned on me before that, like, what happened for 3 days. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a great sermon.
There's a verse that a lot of Christians are familiar with, and it says that he led captivity captive. He goes down to where all the people are waiting for him. They're waiting, and he says, okay, it's time to go. I've come to be everything that you always believed in. Let's go. Now he's going to empty hell. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, it says, I am he who is the first and the last. I was dead, but now I am living. This is Jesus speaking. And he said, and now I have the keys of death and the hell. So or death and Hades. So Jesus goes down. He takes from the enemy all their authority, all their power. He basically makes them look stupid and then takes and empties out hell. Now, here's a cool thought about Greek mythology. In Greek mythology, Hades is the god of the underworld. Right?
Yeah.
Nobody escapes from Hades. Jesus came down and he said, I'm just going to rob you blind, man. And he just takes everything out. So it is a triumphant entry, but not just into Jerusalem. This is the triumphant entry into hell.
You know, Casey, I was thinking about this morning before I left to go to work. I was just watching my daughter and I was just looking at her and she's totally unaware that I'm watching her. And I'm looking at her going, how anybody could doubt that any of this is real? Like, if you think all of this stuff just magically happened in some sort of explosion or vacuum or whatever, and it just blows my mind that there are people who do. And that's why I just thought, man, we gotta touch on this, because this is really like an incredible story. Mm-hmm. And it's one that I'd never thought of before.
Yeah, different side of an Easter story, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's what we do here. We entertain.
Yeah,
that's our job. Hey, what do you guys got coming up for Life Church on Sunday?
Well, we got services. If you want to catch a service at one of our four locations, just go to lifechurchin.com and you can click on the location that's closest to you. And this is kind of the Super Bowl of Christians, right?
Yeah.
This is our big day. And, you know, and so it's just going to be celebratory and great. You know, they say that that this is the one time year that if somebody got an invitation to go to church, they are most likely to say yes.
Yeah.
So give somebody an invitation and say, come with me. Let's go out to breakfast afterwards. Make it a celebratory day. But this is the day where we see many, many people who have been drifting and away from God. And they go, you know what? They do exactly what you just said. The story's too good not to be true. It's too perfect. And then they start reevaluating their lives and making some changes.
Nathan, Peter, now Life Church, thank you for this. This was great.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Well, there you have it. So Nathan got his whole show just by himself. There was no Micah in it at all. And so I don't want to hear it anymore. But what a fascinating a fascinating conversation. I love that. And this is what I really appreciate. We, Nathan and I joke with each other quite a bit on Jesus, Sex, and Politics. We have a good time. But Nathan's depth of knowledge of the scriptures is really incredible. I mean, if you ever get a chance to sit down with him, to talk with him, he really knows the word. I've learned a lot just being under his leadership at Life Church, and I know our church is growing because of that. So dive into God's word. Maybe you've never really thought, where did Jesus go when he died on the cross, when he took his last physical breath? And I think that explains it so well. And it was an amazing statement in the underworld that Jesus made, saying, "It's finished, I'm done." And he led captivity captive, just as Nathan said. So hope you guys were blessed by that. And go, like he said, go to church this Sunday. Find somebody around you to take them to church. Find a good Bible-believing church wherever you are. We'd love to see you at Life Church if you're in the Indianapolis area. But wherever you go, go to church and celebrate the resurrection. God didn't go to the cross because he didn't care about you. He went to the cross and sacrificed himself for you because he loved you that much. He gave up everything. And from the beginnings of the foundations of the world, God has been pointing to the cross. And that's what we're going to be talking about at our Life Church campuses this weekend, is how the cross has been all throughout history, all the way from the beginning of time to when Jesus took his last breath on it. And it was all because God had you in mind. And that's the amazing story of this journey that you're on. Wherever you find yourself today, whether you've been going through hell and back, whatever it is, just know that God has not forgotten you. He sees you. He knows you. He understands what you're walking through. He himself walked through it himself first so that you could have an amazing outcome to your life journey. So we love you guys. On that note, just go and celebrate the resurrection. We'll catch you next week on Jesus, Sex, and Politics. Maybe, if we're lucky, Nathan will actually come into the studio and do his job for once in his life on this podcast. All right, love you. We'll see you later. Peace.